We're continuing in the Sfat Tamim, page Vav in the Standard Editions. Ve'od nireh pashut ma shetala midrash b'noach. Furthermore, it seems obvious what the Medrash hung the whole story around Noach, where the lie wanted to enter the ark, and Noach said, you need a partner, and then the lie partnered up with damages, and then they partnered up forever, that whenever one lies, and then the damages undo whatever he benefited through the lie. So why is the Medrash revolve around Noach? Why did the Medrash have to say the lie wanted to enter Noach's ark? Because by Noach was the switch point in world history. Until Noach's time, Hashem was patient, even though people were stealing from one another. How did people steal? How did people take things from one another? They were deceitful. They were lying. And Hashem had over a millennium of patience. Where Hashem said, okay, I'm going to wait. ולכך הרשע שראה שממון העוול של גזל וחמס מתקיים כמה מאות שנים בידו וביד יוצא חלציו כמה וכמה דורות. So then a wicked person saw, he stole, he plundered, and it lasted. Hashem was super patient, and Hashem didn't have this situation. Hashem didn't set up the world in a way where if you lie, you lose. So people saw that lying paid off. For hundreds of years, they'd see their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren for generations enjoying, reaping the benefits of their own lies, their own thievery. So then, if so people said, of course, that's the route I'm going to take. I see how beneficial it is. And that's what we find before the flood, that the land became filled with thievery. It was rampant. But from the generation of the flood onward, then Hashem started a new method of occurrences in earth. Hashem started a new norm within earth. That whatever a person benefits through deceit and lies, so then there will come damages and take it all away. As the verse in Jeremiah says, Jeremiah promises a person, if you make wealth, but you do it dishonestly, halfway through your life, the wealth will leave you. Let the masses see this concept and have fear, have respect of it. And it goes further. That money that enters one's purse through lies, through deceit, it's like a disease. It metastasizes. It destroys even the kosher money he has. And as it says in Masech Derech Eretz, the minor one, if you take what's not yours, you should realize you're going to lose what's yours. A person thinks, I stole $100, so I'm risking that $100. No. If the IRS catches you, you're risking much more than that $100. So you're risking the money that is legally yours. And then a person loses the money he stole. He loses his other money. And what is he left with? His lies, his deceit. That remains. And it's pitiful that among our many sins today, we see that deceit and lying is common practice in business for some people. And people assume it's permissible. People lie in their dealings, in their business dealings. People say, people sometimes say, hey, I paid so much money for this item. They try to convince you to buy. They're trying to say that they're not making a profit, so they don't mind lying and saying, I bought it for such and such. People sometimes even swear, I promise, this is how much I paid for it. When a person says, I swear, even though he's saying it in English, in another language, that's still a vow, a biblical vow. People think that's part of being a sharp businessman. If you promise, you tell the guy, really, this is what I bought it for, so then that's legitimate. That's part of being a good businessman. And you'll hear the businessman saying that if you don't work this way, nowadays, you'll have no bread to eat. You can't make a living without working this way. עד שבאבנותינו הרבים היינו חרפה לשכנינו שאומרים הדבר ידוע שישראל יעשו עבלה וידברו חזב. It's become so pitiful that today that's our reputation. Our neighbors, meaning the people, the goyim, the non-Jews around us, will say, says the Chafetz Chaim, that it's well known that the Jews are going to cheat and lie, ולא ימצא בפין דבר אמת, and you'll never find a Jew talking the truth. אוי לנו על חילול שמו יתברך שנעשה על ידינו. Woe to us, how we've desecrated God's name. So the Chafetz Chaim didn't say, oh, those anti-Semites, they're making up lies about us. The Chafetz Chaim said, oh boy, we're in deep. Look at us. He passed away in 1930 something. In the 1930s.
The Goyim were pretty bad to the Jews. Like they did push the Jews into stuff like this.
But you see, he's saying this is what's going on. ואיסור המרמה גרם שהעולם הולך ומתמעט.
They were completely pushed out of like the Polish economy at that time. Like they weren't allowed to have like normal jobs. They were completely excluded from the Polish economy.
Okay, so let's hear his next paragraph. He says, the fact that we transgress this prohibition and we're so deceitful, that's what's causing the world to deteriorate, to condense. The economies are contracting. The galgal aniyut chozer ba'olam. And we see the cycle of poverty keeps repeating itself throughout the world. It's rare that you find someone who maintains his wealth throughout his days. Even people who have a period of wealth, people only live a wealthy life for half their days or a third of their days, or sometimes only a number of years. And this wasn't the case in previous generations where the Jewish economy was so bad. Where you knew that the average person who made it wouldn't last with his wealth. In the past, when a person was wealthy, it lasted him for years. Today, a person has wealth, it lasts years, a few years, and sometimes only a few months. So the Chafetz Chaim says, you're right. The economy is taking a turn for the worse against the Jews. But you know what? This is how we brought it upon ourselves on a spiritual level. And even though you'll tell me, not all the Jews are cheaters, how come they're all suffering? So he says, you know that we're all responsible for one another. So we'll pick up here and such.